Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone. I want to welcome all our listeners in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Jackie Laura Jones here with you again for True Forgiveness Teachings on the first Tuesday of February. February 4th, 2020. And I want to thank all of you for being such loyal listeners to this podcast. And my goal is always to help people wake up from this dream of separation, this dream that we are separated from God in heaven. And I love to do that by sharing this wonderful thought system, A Course in Miracles. So I just like to remind everyone, too, at the beginning of the podcast, that if you're interested in classes, I have online classes on A Course in Miracles. I do have a subscription site that's $10.95 a month on Patreon, and you're always invited to join if you feel inspired. So there's no restrictions or time limits, and we have a really good time on that site. It's an hour of going into deep teachings, and there are other things on that site as well. So it's really fun, and you can find that on Jackie.news is my website. I have our good friend Bruce Rawl calling in. Let me get this call. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, Jackie. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I was just telling the listeners that I was answering your call. So all good.
Okay.
You sounded loud and clear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the first time I tried, it's like, I'm not hearing you. So I figured I'd try it again.
Ah, yay. How are you, my friend?
Good. And yourself?
I'm so good. I was just telling our listeners a couple of announcements. I wanted to let everybody know, if you're not on my email list, go ahead and subscribe if you want to keep up with what's going on. Again, my website is jackie.news. And then if you ever want to email me, you can email me at jackie@jackie.news. So as I've announced even last year, the last few months of last year, I'm making some changes as to how I'll be sharing the teachings of the course. I'll be doing some events, workshops, won't always be announced on this platform maybe. So if you want to stay in the loop of what's going on, you can always, know by joining my email, and that goes out once a month, if that, sometimes. So, and I am remembering this time, Bruce, to announce one thing, the International ACIM Conference, which is in May of this year in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I'll be there teaching my sister Cindy, my brother-in-law Gary. A lot of wonderful teachers will be there. And Bruce, I know you're attending, which is awesome.
I'm looking forward to that. Yes. I missed the last few, so I'm very much looking forward to this one.
Yay! And who knows, listeners, maybe Bruce will be speaking at some point. We'll see, although he's very busy, but you would always be welcome, Bruce. That information is also on my website, you guys, and it's under the events page. So if you go to Jackie.news and click on events, just scroll down, and it tells you how to register for that. That's in May at the Omni Hotel here in Los Angeles, which is going to be really fun. So welcome, Bruce. We love having you back.
It's always a delight, Jackie. Oh, good. And yourself?
I'm good. I actually have a ton of energy. I've been getting just sleep. I've gotten back into my exercise routine. And my lymph system was doing yoga and getting back into my routine this year, Bruce, it's just, I'm getting so much of my energy back. So it just feels really good. Yeah, it
excellent,
feels really
excellent.
Good. Yay. So, oh my gosh, to our listeners, I wanted to just address something quickly, Bruce, too. And it pertains to our topic, the dynamics of the ego, and the ego is always coming up with things to distract us. If there's anybody new that's listening, I know there's people all around the world that will, that sometimes they're listening for the first time, they're finding my podcast on other sites and things. This is a podcast about A Course in Miracles, which is a specific spiritual thought system. And so if you're joining us for the first time, and if some of the concepts may seem confusing, Bruce's website, acimblog.com, my website, jackie.news, can kind of get you started on finding information and see what resonates with you. The reason I always say that is I'll have some people email me, Bruce, and say, wait, what, the world isn't real, you know, or something like that. So that's why sometimes I repeat, we've got a ton of regular listeners, but every once in a while, I'll just say this is a podcast about A Course in Miracles, which is a specific thought system, which leads me into what I wanted to say, which I got a lot of emails recently about two things. And as we're talking about the dynamics of the ego and all its shenanigans, I'm talking about this in the context of A Course in Miracles, certainly not to take away, as we know, Bruce, anybody's fear or suffering, but here in Los Angeles, it's been really, people have had heavy hearts since Kobe Bryant passed away, right over, you know, 30 minutes from where Mark and I and Gary and Cindy live. And then the second thing is the coronavirus that has been giving people a lot of fear. So I was addressing that in some of the emails, and it kind of goes into the topic of the ego is always going to come up with things, my friends, to make us fearful. What Jesus is trying to do very gently, because we all have fears, we all have sadness, we're expected to have sadness when people that we love pass away, we're expected to take care of our families in the best way we can, and when we hear of all these threats, Jesus is just asking us to say, you know what, there is another way to look at this if I'm in intense fear or I am in sadness. And these dynamics of the ego of when somebody passes, you know, that we claim that, or that we, the world knows, you know, like an idol, it can be someone in your own family or someone like Kobe. When something like the coronavirus comes out, we want to put it in the courses context of an illusion is an illusion is an illusion. And even if something seem harder to forgive, even if something seem harder because we're fearful, we want to remember that Jesus is saying, you have made levels here of what's difficult or something's easier than something else. And he's gently trying to remind us that it's all part of the same illusion. It's all part of your dream. And so you're dreaming that people have passed away. You're dreaming that there's yet another virus. Remember, when one virus or one illness is eradicated, the ego makes another one, because this is what the ego does, because it wants us to believe in separation and death and destruction. And that is led by fear, right? And I just
the only thought that the ego recognizes is some variation of a fearful thought. There really isn't any kindness or love of any sort in the ego's thought system. And I think that's what makes this a particularly challenging and also a particularly rewarding curriculum, because when we look at it with our inner kindness teacher, we recognize that everything we made up as separate selves really is a self-sabotage. It's really an exercise in folly that we just need to look at without condemnation. One of our favorite course teachers who's still with us in spirit, very much alive in our minds, is Ken Wapnick. And one of the things that I found really helpful with what he shared, among many things, is that this ego thought system of self-interest at the expense of, and you know, it's a dualistic thought system. It's not evil, sinful, or wicked. It's just silly. And it's you know, it takes, I think, a lot of practice, though, to see that. We have to be willing to, right, you know, start where we think we're at. And, you know, we may not be ready to forgive everyone for everything out of the chute. We sometimes have to work up to things. But you know, it is a process, and we need to be patient with ourselves as we look at the contents of our mind without condemnation and see that, you know, at least be willing to consider the idea that just perhaps everything that seems to be outside of us is really a reflection or a manifestation of a choice of one of two thought systems in the mind. And the insane thought system that the Course calls the ego is really one that just suggests that we're limited to a specific body with a specific persona, and it's a little blip on the radar, and once it's gone, you know, whether you're an anonymous person on the planet or a celebrity like a basketball star or a politician or a, you know, a rock musician, or, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's we're all in the same boat, but we're all in truth this one thing, this one spirit, masquerading as these separate selves. And that's the very challenging idea to wrap our minds around sometimes.
Yes, very well said. And Bruce nailed it here with, you know, it's a challenging idea. We talk about the metaphysics of what the Course is saying, but it's a process, as far as we don't always jump right to the being in the right mind so that we're recognizing that it is an illusion. We need to forgive these images that we've made. This is why I wanted to kind of learn tips on how to practice calmly looking at yourself and others without judgment, which is what I put in the description of this. Don't be afraid to look at the ego's nothingness. It's kind of a play there, because it's like, well, if it's nothing, why do you have to look at it? And I said that on purpose because, first of all, that there is nothing here except images we've made. You guys are looking at images on a movie screen in your mind. And so the world is in your mind. Your body, obviously, is part of the world, and that's in your mind. The body's just a symbol to experience separation, that the false idea of separation made, this idea that we could be separate, was projected out into form. Your body is one of those forms. So we don't want to be afraid to look at the ego's nothingness, because it really is nothing. But we need to look with Jesus. And Bruce, you can chime in on this too, as you have a really good way of explaining these things. The reason why we have to look is because to not look keeps the illusion in place. And exactly. So I just wanted to read real quick from the text, chapter 11, God or the Ego, section 5, the dynamics of the ego. And dynamics is in quote for a good reason, because there really are no dynamics, although the ego would like it to be. And it says, no one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them, for not looking is the way they are protected. There is no need to shrink from illusions, for they cannot be dangerous. We are ready to look more closely at the ego's thought system, because together we have the lamp that will dispel it. And since you realize you do not want it, you must be ready. Let us be very calm in doing this, for we are merely looking honestly for truth. Just in that one paragraph is so packed with information. And how I practice that, I would just like to quickly put it into context. So let's say we have a fear about something that's announced in the news, whatever that is. We have something comes up in your day. I know you guys can think of something that bothered you today, or just even irked you, or something that disturbed your peace. Whatever it is, we're asked to bring that to the Holy Spirit or Jesus. And what does that mean? It means, you know what? I'm upset. This is what's going to motivate me to remember that I can see this situation differently. I may not be ready yet, but I know that I can. And when we bring our illusions to the truth, remember, whatever you're afraid of is an image that you've made. And that's why I love from lesson 94. I am as God created me. His son can suffer nothing, and I am his son. So lesson 94 says nothing is required of you to reach this goal except to lay all idols and self images aside. Images about yourself you've made up that you don't like, images about other people that you're reacting to, images to events. So I'm purposely packing a lot into this online discussion here, because it really is about looking. And so many people email me, how can I just have peace about this? We bring whatever we're upset about, okay, whatever's triggering us, we say, I'm willing to see this another way and wait and stop. And the Holy Spirit or Jesus, this right part of your mind, we use the Holy Spirit and Jesus as symbols. When you're in that part of your mind, you will remember that you're dreaming. You will remember that you've made all this and you can withdraw your belief in it. Right, Bruce?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it just takes that willingness to question the validity, not of the sensory data. I always find that helpful. It's not saying, you know, close your eyes and, you know, plug your ears and go la 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 la. It's not denying anything that comes in through our senses. It's just denying the ego's interpretation of that data. And that basically is the distortion that really is the cause of all our suffering. I mean, even what we think of as physical pain is a sensation. But the interpretation that the ego makes is what really causes the suffering. I mean, it's just basically a little spark, but we throw kerosene on it and it becomes a fire. You know, that's in some ways what's happening. Again, like you were saying earlier, Jack, it's not to minimize or negate the things that people are experiencing, but rather instead to look at the things that are challenging, the things that push our buttons and rub us the wrong way, or whatever metaphor you like, figure speech, and just bring those to the altar of the mind and ask for guidance. Ask for, I'd like to use the term inner kindness teacher, but Course in Miracles uses the term Holy Spirit and Jesus because they're representative of a thought system that is willing to transcend the ego thought system. And just look without condemnation, look without judgment on the things that seem to be happening to us. And it's not appropriate to deny them. It's just appropriate to deny the interpretation that we've given them as egos. And that interpretation usually is in some form of victimhood or martyrdom or I'm at the mercy of, fill in the blanks, and that can be in terms of our finances or our physical health, or it could be our relationships, or it could be any number of permutations of all the kind of the standard things that, as bodies, if we identify with our bodies as being our identity and the only, you know, the only game in town, you know, there's
right.
One of the quotes in the course that's pretty challenging that I think is extremely helpful is, if this were the real world, God would be cruel. And then that would of course include the idea that if our identity is limited to just this little space-time figure that I call Bruce, that I see in the mirror, you know, once or twice a day, and that has a social security number and a backstory and all the yada yada that goes with it. Like, there's got to be more to us than that. I mean, if we're just limited to these, you know, 3 score and 10 or 4 score and 10, whatever the cliche was, I forget the exact numbers, but you know, the idea that we're just these little radar blips that come and go, that's a pretty meaningless existence. But if we dig into our minds a little deeper and recognize that there is an awareness that it may be buried over pretty heavily, but there's always an awareness that says, I know there's something more to this. And that's what Helen and Bill, the scribes of the course, you know, started the whole thing with is there must be a better way. There's got to be more to this than just the superficial image making and image misinterpretation. And what the course does that's kind of radical is it says, it turns around cause and effect, which, you know, tip of the hat to Byron Katie, you know, turning the things around that we think are the cause of our peace or lack thereof, and it turns them into opportunities to see that we're the projector, our mind is the projector, not individually necessarily, but collectively. We made up this massive holographic dream movie, 3D movie, and we've got so thoroughly invested in it, we don't even question it. We don't even begin on a normal daily basis to say, wait a minute, what if this is a reenactment of a decision in my mind that I could change a different playwright. I could go to a different script. It would be the same things happening on the outside, but I would be letting go of the ego's interpretation of those things. And that's, I think, what that beautiful first paragraph that you've read, and I think is one of my favorites as well. You know, we together, meaning with that inner guidance, we have the lamp that will dispel the darkness. And we realize that we do not want the suffering, and so we're ready. I mean, if you're listening to this right now, there must be some part of you that is resonating with the words that Jack and I are speaking, and of course Jack and I are saying this for ourselves too, because we all are in the same boat. We all need these reminders to look at the stuff, the image making that we do and the projection that we do on a 24/7 basis. Another thing that comes to mind that I also find really helpful in one of Ken Wapnick's commentaries about the Course, which are, you know, prolific and profound. He says, you know, the point is not to be miserable. You know, the purpose of the Course is not to make us more miserable. It's really to point out how miserable we've made ourselves by choosing the wrong health system, by choosing the wrong teacher, and gently, patiently, slowly but surely turning it around and just say, I could choose peace instead of this. I could see a different way of looking at things if I am willing to just look at the contents of my mind without condemnation and see how I want to project it out on everybody and everything else. That I'll pull one more favorite, somewhat comic remark from Ken Wapnick's teachings. And he says, if we could really understand babies' language right as they exit the womb, you know, interpret that directly into English. The first cries that an infant makes after birth is, in English, would be, "It's not my fault."
That's right. I love that.
You know, because you know, it's basically that's the dynamics of the ego. It's all about taking an unconscious yet unfounded misunderstanding, what the Course calls sin, guilt, and fear. And that whole thought system that we're obviously not comfortable with. It's unnatural to what we really are. And so the only thing that comes to mind, and our minds are extremely powerful, is let's get the heck out of here. Let's throw that idea outside my mind somehow. Of course, that's not possible in the non-duality of the Course. And that's part of the metaphysics that I think really makes it all click when you really ponder it. But we think as egos, because we think we made up separation, so we think we can foist the stuff that we don't want in our mind on somebody else. And that usually becomes everything and everyone else in some fashion or another. So, you know, the flamethrowers is a device that, you know, some is used in some situations, but the blame thrower is the device that the ego uses just about 24/7 if we're willing to look at it, right?
And by using that
blame thrower, you know, we think we're, you know, kind of like Roadrunner. We've set up this booby trap or the coyote rather. We think we're going to catch the Roadrunner, but inevitably the coyote gets it by his own, you know, sneaky devices, because, you know, it's really a boomerang. It always comes back to us. Whatever we think we projected out really is going through our mind. So if there's any kind of mean spirit, malevolent, hostile, you know, condemning thought toward anyone or anything, that's going through my mind, and I'm the recipient of that. So it's really, you know, an exercise in patience to just very slowly but surely keep coming back to the mind, keep coming back to the mind, keep looking at the thoughts that are not peaceful with that inner kindness teacher, because they're not truly dangerous. They only seem to be dangerous to the ego, because they're dangerous to the thought system that says I'm this separate self, because
that's
ultimately
right.
That separate identity becomes merged back into the oneness that is our real identity. And but our egos, you know, kind of like being separate. They kind of like being a separate self. Not that it really benefits us in any way, but but we think that we're getting some kind of mileage out of it until we look at it carefully, and then then the jig is up, and then it's like, okay, wait a minute, that's never worked. It's never ever worked, but
exactly.
Anyway, I've gone.
It's never worked. Bruce, it's so funny because you and I are always on the same page, but you probably don't know it. Like, I was just talking to my mom the other night, and I was saying, yeah, if God did create this world, he would indeed be cruel, because the world is a mess. Let's be honest. The Course in Miracles is not about not calling a spade, but it's about finding out why it's that way. Why is it that way? Why did we make it? Which is always so deep. We can't go into everything so deeply on these podcasts. So we give you these things, and then, you know, the hope is such a great self-study course. And hopefully anything you find, whether it's this podcast, my website, my book, Bruce's site, everything that's a resource for him, my brother-in-law Gary's books,
books.
My brother-in-law Gary Renard's books, whatever you find that kind of helps you along the path, that's the goal. It's a big thought system, but don't be afraid to look at it. I wanted to read one more thing and then comment on something you said, Bruce. I'm going to comment on what you said first, because you said it a couple times, and I think it's important for people to understand it. You said it's the interpretation of what we see that causes the suffering. You guys, this is really key, and it takes a lot of practice of undoing the false self to really experience this. But it's the interpretation of what you're seeing that causes the suffering, not what you're seeing. See, because what you're seeing with the body's eyes is not truly happening. When you're listening to the ego's interpretation, the ego's saying, look, you're separate. You're an individual. Look at all these things now that you're at the mercy of. See, the first dream, the secret dream in the mind, is just the thought that we're separate. But in order for the ego to keep its game going, that thought is projected out of the mind. And now we're in a body in a world lost in the second dream, the dream of the world. That now, how can we get out? Because we forgot that this is projected from the mind. So we think the body is what we are. So when Bruce says it's your interpretation that causes the suffering, we've chosen the ego, which part of that belief system is that you're a body in a world that isn't there. It's just a screen on your mind. In your mind. So if you choose the Holy Spirit's interpretation, that interpretation of what the body's eyes see is different. That interpretation is, look at what you've made. This is not who you are. You're dreaming this. You're the dreamer of these images. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus know you believe in the images. So part of the Holy Spirit's thought system is reminding you and shifting the purpose of what you made, saying, let's take these images and use them to get you home to heaven. And the way we do that is through forgiveness. It's through seeing that what your brother has done or seemingly done to you has actually not occurred, because it's your dream. So I know this is a very quick explanation of that, but Bruce, it just hit me when you said it like three times. It's the interpretation, and you were talking about interpretation, and that is not a small distinction. And why Bruce is so powerful, of why this is such a powerful. See, people think that the world, what your eyes see, right, is changing, the change the Course is talking about. It's not, because your eyes are just reporting back to you a separation thought, separate images, forms that the ego wants you to see so that you believe you're not in the wholeness of heaven. So this is, that's no small task, and that's why we have 1,300 pages of the course. That's why we have 365 lessons to help us unwind this belief, right, Bruce?
We need a lot of practice.
We need a lot of practice. I mean, so I just wanted to read quickly from chapter 11 now, still section 5, but paragraph 2, be not afraid, therefore, for what you will be looking at is the source of fear. Be not afraid, therefore, for what you will be looking at is the source of fear, and you are beginning to learn that fear is not real. Do not be afraid, then, to look upon fear, for it cannot be seen. Clarity undoes confusion by definition, and to look upon darkness through light must dispel it. So anytime you guys are upset, don't be afraid to look, because looking with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is going to say, look at this ugliness buried in your mind, but you put it there. Remember, it's not really there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like also in that same paragraph, it says, you know, the effects of fear can be dispelled by denying the reality. We're not denying the data. We're denying
right.
the interpretation again. And it, I kind of like to think of, if you look at, like, for example, our visual systems, because we have so much technology that's pixel-based, you know, there's digital media, if you think of it like a laptop or a phone or, you know, TV screen, nowadays it's just a bunch of, you know, little tiny, you know, metaphorically square blocks that change color,
right.
and then they're called pixels. And
right.
the pixels in themselves are completely neutral. They don't, this is a good pixel, no, that's a bad pixel. No, they're just, you know, putting out the luminance and the color that have been given them to display. They're just following the instructions of the circuitry that's behind them to, you know, either show a particular combination of colors of light or not, you know. And in any given moment, even though all the complexities of the colors all distill down to just a bunch of ones and zeros, a bunch of yeses and nos. And you know, but that's neutral. There's really nothing there until we make a big deal out of what the collection of those pixels means. And I think if we could kind of extend that metaphor to our mind and see how the sensory data is really neutral, which means our bodies are neutral. It means the entire universe of space and time is a neutral thing. If you extrapolate that to its truly logical conclusion, but it only has the meaning that we give it. And even Shakespeare said it, nothing good or bad, but that thinking makes it so. And so
interpretation.
And so the ego dynamics is really about continually interpreting things that are neutral. And the Holy Spirit's constant rebuttal to that is just saying, maybe just a moment. Let's just take a look here together at how you've taken, you know, each of us, it takes the daily neutral data that comes in through our senses and gives it a media spin, if you will, and converts it from something that really has no power on its own to something that, you know, slams us back and forth against the rails and hurls us forward or backward into different modes of emotion and thought. And you know, it's just kind of like we're a little pawn playing to the ego's, you know, score instead of just watching objectively and dispassionately the stuff that's happening and saying, wow, I could see peace instead of this. And the this being the ego's interpretation. That in that quote is really denying the ego's dynamics of taking something that's completely neutral, completely inert. Ultimately, it's, you know, there's no activity there. And so the
right.
dynamics is in quotes in this section, because in truth, our real being is static. It's really completely still and innocent and peaceful, and it's all the same thing. And tag, we're all it. No one's left out. But because we made up this dualistic dream of a universe, and because we think we're these separate cells, we see all kinds of, you know, activity going on, and it's just a constant bombardment. You know, I keep coming back to one of the ideas in the work by Lesson 136, the double shield of oblivion, because the outer shield is just a buzz with all kinds of stuff that requires our firefighting moment to moment to try to make what's in this dream, you know, suit our liking.
That's right.
And we can kind of just, you know, if we objectively look at the track record of how well that's worked out for us, you know, how's it working out for you? You know, it's like, we have to admit, like, well, you know, on any given day, not so great.
Exactly.
When we think that the world is supposed to, you know, give what we want to us, and the Course points out even that what we think we want, not only does that vary from moment to moment, but even in the same moment, we have conflicting goals, you know, because we think we want some things to be this way and other things to be that way. And there's really no consistency whatsoever in the ego's strategy and agenda. It's just a chaotic thought. And that's why the Course also talks about the laws of chaos, which are basically saying that the truth is different for everyone and things like that.
Right, which is a whole nother
show.
The laws of chaos are great. And you're right, Bruce. Oh my God, the truth is different for everybody, and hierarchies of illusions and all this. Oh my goodness, it's such a good point. I think bringing it back around, because I want Bruce to have a couple minutes if you have any announcements. Just bringing this back around, you guys, how I practice, and Bruce and I have done a lot of shows on this too, of just remembering that your life is a classroom. This is, what does it mean, bringing it to the Holy Spirit? What does it mean, don't make it real? Well, not making it real means you're not giving anything external to yourself the power to take the peace of God from you. You're not giving anything external. Even if you're not ready to go back to the metaphysics of, wait, but I made this? What? You're telling me I made this? Not you as the body you believe that you are made it, but as the decision-making mind, the one mind made all the scripts at the beginning, okay? So the you that you believe is you, right, is you're watching one of these scripts. So we do this in steps. And anytime something upsets you, not making it real, what we mean by that is bringing it to the Holy Spirit, who's going to remind you and say, well, let's use what you made as a classroom. I know you're upset about this person, the situation, this event, whatever it is. It can be something that's seemingly small or something that's big. It's still not the peace of God. It's still making you feel that the world is real because you're affected by it. You wouldn't be affected by it if you didn't think it was really happening. And so there is a way to soften your gaze, right? Forehead is serene, eyes are quiet. And the body's eyes are looking out, but the mind is interpreting it very, very differently. And the Holy Spirit is saying, ah, great, that's your trigger. Let's flip the purpose of it. The ego's purpose is for you to believe it's real. You stay stuck in illusion for millennia. And the Holy Spirit says, no, let's wake up from your dream. Let's first forgive these images, because the people haven't really done anything. Then let's forgive ourselves. Let's forgive yourself. For dreaming it in the first place, you did not attack God. You are not separate. You did not kill him off. He's not coming to get you, right? And now stay with me in the Holy Spirit's thought. Stay with me, and we will recall this projection step by step. And that's what we do. And why do we forgive seemingly the bad things or things that upset us? Because Jesus knows we need to be motivated, guys. When things are going well, we're not motivated to do the forgiveness. And we don't need to feel guilty about that. At the end of the day, the things that I love in my life, I know those aren't real too. It's still a part of the same illusion. But we have our good times and our bad times, right, Bruce? But this is how we practice. We take anything that disturbs our peace, whatever it is. I mean, we don't want to be too elated either. if we're too elated in thinking that we're special and our lives are better than other people, that needs to be looked at, because that's making it real on the other side, right? So we're never off the hook.
Yeah, I think anytime we take anything that's temporary, that's always a clue. There's an acronym that came my way a while back that I find helpful, is GIST: guilt, individuality, space, and time.
Say that.
And you know, because anything that involves guilt, obviously, is an ego interpretation that misunderstands and avoids the truth of what we really are, which is innocent and invulnerable. And we can, you know, we're not really helpful until we accept our invulnerability and our innocence, and accept that for everyone. That's when we really can truly begin to be helpful to ourselves and
That's
to anyone
right.
in our life.
Tell people what guilt is again, Bruce, because I interrupted you.
Oh, sure. But so, yeah, so guilt is really just the idea that we shattered perfect oneness, that we threw God under the bus, so to speak, that we took this one awareness and somehow, in our minds only, and in a delusional part of our mind only, made up a whole universe where it appears that we pulled it off. And because it's so convincing, and because, you know, way beyond any Hollywood special effects awards and you know, teams of CGI artistry, we made this movie that we call Space and Time, that's so realistic we don't even question it. So those are the third and fourth letters of the GIST acronym for guilt, individuality, space, and time. Individuality is the separate self that we think we are. As long as we're identified with that and making a big deal about what happens or doesn't happen to that, all the special things that happen or don't happen, you know, again, it's a clue. And then if there's something that has to do with space, you know, we think that sometimes we are in places we like or places we don't like. We think that things are near and far from us that are to our liking or dislike or whatever. And then the time, you know, we think that we're subject to time. And bodies are central to that. And that's why the hero of the dream is such a great section of the course. We think we're these, you know, these little puppets, these little dream hero action figures, as I sometimes call them. And, you know, we need to still do the normal things. But if we just take our personal lives a little less seriously all the time and recognize as a replacement the spirit that is unchanging, the static, eternal, unyielding, invincible, invulnerable, completely innocent self that we all are and share, and have eternally, that then becomes the real bedrock, the real foundation that we go forward with. And then the stuff that is unreal is free to dissolve at a pace that we're comfortable with. And we can
be really gentle
with ourselves.
Dissolve. I love it. We only have about 1 minute. So I wanted to say briefly, I know these go so fast. I wanted to say briefly that Bruce has done great interviews with Dr. Bob Rosenthal, co-president of the Foundation for Inner Peace, the publisher of A Course in Miracles. I encourage you to see those awesome interviews, acimblog.com. Bruce and I often chat on my subscription site, Patreon, after this. We continue this conversation and we do talk about great things if you guys are interested in that. Also, really quickly, I wanted to say that I will be interviewing, I'm going to have a really fun interview with a very good friend of our family's. And my brother-in-law put a notice out about her, and her name is Alzena, and she's the reincarnation of Helen Schuckman. And I will be discussing some things with her, course concepts. Not because it's important, and she first and foremost does not have any specialness about that, but wants to talk about A Course in Miracles, her experience with that. And it's going to be really fun. So I will let you guys know when that's going to be up and running. So Bruce, I want to thank you so much again for being
with me. Thank you, Jackie.
Always
a pleasure.
And you guys check out his site. I don't want to get cut off here, but and we love you all so much, and we just love sharing this thought system because we're all in this together. So
absolutely.
Bruce, I will see you next time, and we love you all. Be
likewise.
Well and bless.